So we find ourselves in week three of our Heart Check series. In the first week, we talked about how God uses people like us as messengers. Last week, we did a heart check by looking at Jonah, asking God, are there things that are in our lives, in our hearts, that keep us from being effective messengers? And I found that very challenging. And today we find ourselves in the Old Testament book of Esther, which is a very exciting book. It has all the elements of a great story, right? An orphan named Esther, who becomes a hero. A kind relative named Mordecai, who takes her in. A foolish king who is easily manipulated. And of course, a villain named Haman. He is a great villain. I mean, he was a horrible person. But in terms of the story, he was a classic, one of the classic villains of the Bible. So the story is mixed with the darker realities of life not often found in storybooks. Things like racism, genocide, murder, seduction, drunkenness. This book has it all. Except for one thing, God. Or at least God's name is not mentioned in the book even one time, which is, it's kind of unusual, isn't it? It's strange. Isn't the Bible supposed to be all about God? Well, of course it is. But the author is using a brilliant literary technique which serves as an invitation to read the story looking for signs of God's activity even when he doesn't seem to be present. And that might be how we feel today when we read or watch the news. It can feel like God isn't even here, like his name has been wiped out of people's mouths and lips and minds, except for when his name is used in vain. It seems like evil is triumphing over good, and that the plans of the wicked succeed, while innocent people are subjected to war and poverty, slavery, abuse, and injustice. As I mentioned during my prayer, today marks the one-year anniversary of when 10 innocent people were killed right here in Buffalo, just a few miles away, while grocery shopping at Tops. And they were killed for one reason, right? The shooter went by people who were white and only shot people who were black. This honestly could have been a page taken right out of Esther's time because race is a central part of Esther's story. Esther is Jewish, living as an exile in Babylon. She has to act on behalf of thousands of her people. So while we think of Esther as a story from ancient times, it still resonates with us today because the same evil is present. But the beauty of Esther's story shows us that good will triumph over evil and that one person can make a difference. In fact, the story of Esther teaches us that God can use anyone as his messenger. And that includes you. Let me give you a summary of what's happening in the story. The king of Persia had a drunken party with all of his buddies, and he thought it would be cool to have his queen come and show off her beauty. And she had none of it. She refused to come. And he said, okay, you're not the queen anymore. And so they had this big competition, a year-long beauty competition to find another queen. Contestants were given a year of beauty treatments, and entered into this search is one named Esther, who was entered into the contest because of her great beauty. But over the course of the year, she won the favor of everyone who saw her because of her character. Even the king who decided that she would be the next queen, what a happy ending. Is that the end of the story? No. Just getting started. I forgot to mention the king's right-hand man, Haman. Haman had a grudge against Esther's cousin, Mordecai. He had raised Esther because Mordecai refused to bow and worship Haman whenever he came into the court of the king. So Mordecai had a higher alliance to God and refused to bow to Haman. And he handled this as you would expect any insecure, power-hungry person would. I'm reading from Esther chapter 3, verse 6. Yet having learned who Mordecai's people were, he scorned the idea of killing only Mordecai. Instead, Haman looked for a way to destroy all Mordecai's people, the Jews, throughout the whole kingdom of Xerxes the king. So Esther and Mordecai are Jewish people living in the Persian Empire. You might remember the story of the Babylonian captivity, and God's patience finally ran out. So the Babylonians, and this was predicted by the prophets, came and captured what was left of Israel, took all the people back as slaves to live in exile. At this point in the story, some of the remnant, some of the people who had been exiled, have gone back to Israel, but some still live in what is now the nation of Persia. They lived with relative freedom, but because Haman couldn't deal with his conflict with Mordecai, he decided to blame their whole race. So Haman literally rolled some dice to decide the date of the genocide when people throughout the Persian Empire were encouraged to kill their Jewish neighbors and take their stuff. So he rolled the dice. They were called Pur or Purim. He rolled the dice to see on what date the genocide should take place. By the way, incidentally, you may have heard the Jewish festival of Purim or Purim, and that's where this comes from. Sounds pretty ridiculous to most of us, but I bet some of you have had an experience with someone like this. Someone so insecure and fearful of losing control that instead of just working out the issue with you, they want to create confusion and destruction all around you. Students of human conflict tell us that the final stage of conflict is not simply winning, but going beyond that and wanting to destroy the other person. I'd like to say that this is rare, but I don't think it is. Here's another reason why we need God to change our hearts. Maybe you haven't come across someone this extreme, but I bet you've experienced the same mentality that Haman had. Because he had a beef with one person of a certain group, he hated all of them. And this kind of mentality happens all the time. We have a negative interaction with somebody, and we write them all off. Maybe it's a political group, or a religious group, or a race, or a different country. All that to say that this is the mentality that Esther and Mordecai were facing, a personal vendetta that was made into a national decree that threatened the lives of tens of thousands of people. And there is Esther in the palace. She finds herself in a very difficult position. Is she safe, even though she's a Jew? Is there anything that she can do to intercede for them? Her uncle Mordecai asks her to go into the king's presence and beg for mercy and plead with him for the people. But she responds that it would be breaking the law because anyone who approaches the king without being asked faces death, even his wife. And she hasn't been summoned into his presence for 30 days. The story continues. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this? Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day, and I and my attendants will fast as you do. And when this is done, I will go to the king, even though it's against the law. And if I perish, I perish. I love that line, and that's really our main idea for today's message. Who knows but that you have come to this moment for such a time as this. I love it. For such a time as this. Some of you know that I work here in the HEAL department and I have a chance to do pastoral counseling. And there are times when I walk out of those conversations and I just feel like so grateful that I'm in this place at this time. What an opportunity. And there are many Sundays when I walk out of this building and feel like I am right where God wants me. And I'm so grateful. And God has placed you where you are so that you can make a difference in someone's life. Maybe you're in a conversation and your insight changes the direction of a conversation or maybe the direction of someone's life. Maybe you're able to give a different perspective or ask a question that changes somebody's thoughts. Or maybe it's a timely word of encouragement that you give, maybe a note or a call or a prayer with someone. But God can use you to make a difference. Who knows but that you have come to this moment for such a time as this. On your outline, there's a place to take some notes about how to be a person that God can use. And the first thought is this: be willing. Be willing to be used by God. For Esther, the first part of being used by God was being willing. In her case, if she approached the king without being summoned, it could cost her her life. But she was willing to be used by God. It was risky. She and others prayed, and she took the risk. We never know when or how God will want to use us. And sometimes when we are willing, the door doesn't open. And that's okay too. Are we willing to participate with the Holy Spirit? And we don't know how it'll work out. There's always a risk involved. And we won't always get it completely right, will we? But are we willing to state the obvious and speak the truth in love? Are we willing to be an instrument of God's peace and then leave the results to Him? So the first thing I'm asking you this morning is to be willing to be used by God. Here's the second thing. Be aware. Esther was made aware of the situation by her uncle. It's not always that obvious, right? Part of being aware is paying attention to people. Right? If nonverbal communication is really important, and it is, some people say that nonverbal communication is 82% of the message that is sent to another person. So if that's really important, look at people. Look at their posture. Look at the expression on their face. Listen to the tone of their voice. And depending on your relationship, you might just say, how's it going? You may not be the person they want to talk to, but you never know. You just never know. Maybe it's a volatile situation when we can be the voice of reason. Think of what King Solomon said, a gentle answer turns away wrath. This last week, I went to a village meeting that was potentially contentious. It really was contentious. And I didn't say a word, but I wanted to be a peaceful presence. I want to be a person of peace. And I love what somebody said to me after last week's message. Things go better if we come at them from a place of wholeness and peace. It's true, isn't it? Which leads us beautifully into a final word. Be ready. Be ready for opportunities to be used by God. I'm reading a biography of Abraham Lincoln, and I just love to study his life. It's Abraham Lincoln who said, "I will get ready and perhaps my chance will come." I will get ready and perhaps my chance will come. You know that especially during the 1850s, his political life was full of disappointments, right? And instead of becoming bitter, He used that time to write a lot of letters, to talk to a lot of people, to build a lot of network, we would call them networks, and relationships. And he also used that time to clarify his thinking, especially about slavery in America. And when his opportunity came, was he ready? He was, in a remarkable way. I will get ready, and perhaps my chance will come. Who knows but that you have come to this moment for such a time as this. We don't know when God might guide us into a place where he can use us. But in the meantime, we can do all in our power to be ready when the opportunity comes. How can we do that? Pursue the Father. You may have heard that before. Pursue the Father. That's why a lot. I encourage you guys. I nag you. I cajole you. I dare you to read the Bible every day. Why? So that you can know the heart and mind of God. It comes in really handy when we're interacting with other people. Know the heart and mind of God. Become wise and thoughtful. Keep your heart free. If my heart is free from bitterness and anger, I'll be able to see other people as pilgrims on the way. Learn to listen to others and to God. Isn't listening a great gift? Giving somebody the opportunity to speak to us and taking time to listen to them opens so many doors. And I honestly believe that the blessed Holy Spirit speaks to us, and hopefully we listen and respond in joyful obedience. Be a student of life. Be a student of people. I'm so grateful for the missions trips that I had, that going into completely different cultures just gave me such a different perspective on life. Reading books takes me to places I could never go. We do all of these things not so that we have all the answers, right? It's not so that we can give simple answers to complex problems. We want to cultivate humility and perspective. Serve with a loving heart. All of this is part of being ready. As Mother Teresa says, do small things with great love. And someday, some place, some time, you will be in a place where you can be a messenger of God's hope, healing, and grace. Every one of us. Like Esther, I encourage you to pick up your Bibles and read the exciting conclusion of her story. Spoiler alert, the king did not kill her when she went into his presence unsummoned. And in a crazy, unpredictable way, God used Esther to save the lives of thousands of Jews living in exile. And in the larger arc of this story, God preserved the life of his people. And through them came the one who would rescue us, Jesus of Nazareth. So, dear friends, can God use you? Can God use you? He can. Be willing, be aware, and be ready. And who knows, but that you have come to this place for such a time as this. I'm going to give you a chance to just respond to what you've heard today. How has God been speaking to you, and what will you do with what you've just heard? Let's respond. Father, thank you for this moment. I pray that it will be life-giving, not just to us, but for those whose lives we touch. Will you help us to be in tune with you, to listen for your voice? Forgive us for when we miss opportunities or when we don't handle them perfectly. We are imperfect creatures, but we are so honored and humbled to be used by you. It's your plan to share the good news of Jesus Christ the hope, the healing, and grace through people like us. And we pray that all of what we do and all of the results will not be for our glory, but for your honor. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.